You're listening to Health Professional Radio. Thank you so much for joining us for another segment. I'm your host, Neil Howard, talking with returning guest, Dr. Lucy Ide, this morning. She's founder and CEO of Remedy. She's joining us to talk about multiple point solutions in health IT and how they're only a temporary fix. Welcome back, Dr. Lucy Ide. Thanks for joining again.
Thank you, Neil. Great to be back.
Well, give our listeners who aren't familiar with you as a contributor a little bit of your professional background and talk briefly about your role there as founder and CEO of Remedy.
Sure. Briefly, I'm a scientist by training, started my career as a physicist in the government, then spent some time in venture capital investing in emerging technologies before shifting into healthcare, and really thought I'd be an academic clinician for my career. That was the plan. And became really fascinated with opportunities to improve care delivery and the impact technology could have on those. So left clinical practice and started Remedy, and have served as, founder and CEO of the company.
Exactly. What are they focused on?
So, we are built on this really simple premise that we can do so much better by our patients and clinicians. And often we know what to do, right? We know how to manage these health conditions. And we started focused really on chronic health conditions, but it's an execution and delivery problem. So we build software solutions and tools for clinicians and health systems to provide data aggregation, analytics, and insights to help make that management of chronic diseases better.
So what's Remedy been up to since last we spoke?
Yeah, so it's been almost 2 years since we last spoke, I believe.
Yeah, quite a while.
As I mentioned, we started out focused on chronic diseases, specifically diabetes. And probably around that time we last spoke, we were really taking the understanding we had built in the diabetes space and the components of care needed to support, clinician workflows and expanded that out to other cardiometabolic diseases like hypertension, heart failure, obesity medicine, fatty liver. And we continue to build on that work today and deploy use cases. I did some great work around postpartum hypertension during COVID with Boston Medical Center and continue to build that. But over the last, I'd say, year and a half, we also have taken sort of all of those capabilities and shifted into the perioperative and post-acute space. So we've done some great work with Emory Healthcare. We're based in Atlanta. Emory is in Atlanta. And have built two perioperative applications, one for orthopedic surgery and one for neurosurgery, specifically deep brain stimulation. And they have the same similar, building blocks around sort of the data aggregation and insights and, clinical decision support is our, core platform. But that's been really exciting work to sort of branch out into those new clinical areas.
You mentioned some of the challenges and problems that you address there at Remedy. When it comes to health IT, what do you think you're most focused on? I mean, are you talking permanent solutions across the board, or is this an ongoing case by case, situation by situation that you offer for your clients?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, while we have a standard enterprise software platform, every health system is different. They have different patient populations. They have different, specific clinical needs at a given moment in time. So that flexibility for us to adjust to the needs of the client, I think, is really important. So that's sort of what's driven a lot of the work we've done to make the platform, so kind of configurable and composable to meet those needs without having to do additional software development every time.
So what type of feedback have you been getting after solving some of these problems for your clients?
Feedback's been really positive, both on the, from the clinicians, as well as the impact on patients. Because, just like the needs of each client organization are different, the needs of each individual patient are different. And so if we can help bridge that gap, and when we do help bridge that gap between a clinician and their patient in a way that feels very personal to that patient, that, they know that that clinician is, has the insights and information that's uniquely applicable to them, right? They feel that, and that helps build that bond and trust between patient and provider, but also helps sort of move the needle across the whole population of patients. So it's been really positive.
Now, as a company that deals in software efficiencies, obviously you had to shift gears a little bit for the pandemic. Well, maybe not obviously. Were you prepared for the, for lack of a better term, the chaos with the efficiency focused solutions that you were offering? Were you prepared for it, or did you have to shift gears dramatically?
You know, some of it, you know, I think everybody had to shift gears last year. We had been doing and facilitating remote monitoring of patients for years, many years, as part of, you know, because I just consider that to be a core piece of how you have to manage a chronic health condition, right? You got to know what's happening with those patients between seeing them 2 to 4 times a year. Mm-hmm. So I think the fact that we've been doing that for a long time made it really easy for us to support that growth that happened during the pandemic of, you know, doctors wanting to reach out to those patients with chronic conditions who couldn't come into the clinic and monitor them and, you know, be able to provide feedback and support. One thing that we sort of pivoted quickly was we were set to release a patient reported outcomes tool about this time last year to really, you know, help gather data from the patient in their own voice and, you know, standardize questionnaires and bring that into the workflow. So, you know, in February of 2020, I said to the team, hey, could we take that and could we turn that into a COVID screening and monitoring tool? And within about 3 weeks, we got something out the door. And so that was probably our biggest pivot into, you know, help these health systems who had patients who were quarantining or managing COVID at home, you know, keep tabs on those patients, understand who not only had worsening symptoms, but maybe who was experiencing profound loneliness and anxiety or, you know, food scarcity during that time. So that was great to be able to support our clients in that way.
Do you feel that patients recognize these efficiencies, these enhancements? It seems that more patients are paying a lot more attention to what the healthcare industry as a whole is or is not doing.
You know, I think we all, you know, we're all consumers of healthcare, and I think we all, you know, can't resist the comparison of, you know, why can I book a restaurant table on my phone, but I can't book an appointment with my doctor, right? And why can I, you know, text chat with almost any business who you do business with today, right? Whether it's your bank or, but I can't have that same kind of interaction for something that's so much more important, such as my healthcare. So I think that consumer demand is a really important influence right now. And they are embracing, right, these more convenient models of care like telemedicine and sort of asynchronous communication with your healthcare provider through a portal, through a text platform, you know, through a connected medical device.
As we hit the second half of 2021, what are you most excited about as far as what Remedy is doing?
You know, in part following on, you know, this, your previous question of sort of leveraging the learnings momentum coming out of, the COVID experience, you know, if there's one silver lining, you know, it was this big forced experiment of what would happen if all of a sudden we had to totally change the way we accessed healthcare. So there are things there that, you know, we've all collectively learned and we need to continue to build on that momentum. Now that we've got a little bit of the ability to come up for air and assess, so I'm really excited to see sort of how that continues to evolve and, you know, support these, you know, health systems who did things in sort of a knee-jerk reaction because they had to continue to build on what's the long game here? What's the long-term play with virtualization of care? How do we make that really part of healthcare? And in a couple of years, we won't talk about these as separate modalities anymore. It's just the way we experience healthcare.
Lucy, give us a website where we can learn much more about Remedy and what you're accomplishing there.
Sure. You can find us at remedy.com, and that's R-I-M-I-D-I.com.
Always a pleasure. I'm hoping that we'll speak again. Hopefully it won't be as long.
Thank you, Neil. Hope so.
You've been listening to Health Professional Radio. I'm your host, Neil Howard, in conversation with returning guest Dr. Lucy Ide. Audio copies of this program are available at hpr.fm and healthprofessionalradio.com.au. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, listen in, download at SoundCloud, and be sure and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/healthprofessionalradio.